tonight, let's take another look at faith. Okay, so we're exploring faith afresh. Hallelujah. In the summer, we talk around it. We always have something that we're seeing that has to do with it, but it's not every time that we teach it directly. And really, in a local assembly, it's one of those things that we ought to look at constantly, because it's an everyday life issue. Hallelujah. Show me, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. How many of you know the rest of that scripture? Okay, Hebrews chapter 10. I wasn't planning to start from there. You know, if we do Bible quiz in church, that's one of the ways we do it. We just give you the first part. You complete the other part. If you don't complete the other part, we ask you. You have not been following that song that says, study, read your Bible every day. Okay. All right. Who knows where it is? Actually, it's quoted more than once in the epistles. But we're looking at the one in Hebrews now. Hebrews 10. Okay. Hebrews 10. And verse 38. It says, now, say now, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Hallelujah. Say again, now the just shall live by faith. Okay, so the just shall live by faith. It's a scripture that actually refers to Christ. Okay, by extension to us. Where is our part? Is writing to the Hebrew believers. Both those who believe and those who are yet to believe among them. Let me say this. The book of Hebrews was written to two sets of people. Both were Jews. First, there are the believing Jews, and then there are the Jews who are yet to believe, who are still practicing the law. So that's why the book of Hebrews was presented in a scholarly manner, addressing those who understand the law and the intricacies of the law. Okay, and then using that same law that they understand to bring them to a knowledge of salvation in Christ. Okay, so when it says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, what does it mean to draw back? It means to draw back from the sacrifice of Jesus. So if any man rejects that sacrifice, if any man ignores that sacrifice, says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Hallelujah. Of course, you know that in Hebrews 11, look at Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. I'm sure most of us know that, isn't it? What does it say? But without faith. Hebrews 10:30 says now. But without. So it's still a continuous thought. Remember what I said on Sunday? There are no chapters and verses in the original text. What is the purpose of adding chapter and verses? To make it easy for reference. So there are complete thoughts that you follow, or you're able to trace when you're not reading your Bible in chapters and verses. What in chapter and verses for? Just for easy referencing. So sometimes a thought is not completed in what we know as a chapter. It continues into the next step. Do you understand that? So when you're reading for the purpose of study, you will understand clearer when in your mind you remove the chapters and verses and read one thought into another. So in that verse, when it says, now the just, is speaking to Hebrews, the Jews, and it says, if any man will be just, he is to live by faith. Or is to accept Christ's sacrifice by faith. It says, if any man draw back, that means if they ignore or respond in unbelief, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Verse 6 now says in Hebrews 11, it says, but without faith, it is one impossible. Do you know in that one single verse, he just told you that the law is of no use to whoever is going to please God? That's what he just says. The law is of no use to whoever is going to please God. It says, but without faith, it is impossible. That's strong. That means without understanding faith, without responding in faith, there is no way you can be on the same page with God. No way. Now, sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that, really. That without faith, say without faith, it is impossible. Faith never stands alone. It's never in what you call a vacuum. What is it talking about when it says without faith? Without faith in who? In Christ. It is what? Impossible to please God. For he that comments to who must believe that he is, and that is what? a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when you're reading that, don't take it out of the other truths that are contained both in the epistles and in the gospels. Read everything together. How do you come to God? How do you come to God? How do you come to God? What did Jesus say about coming to God? I am the. So if you are coming to God here, what will it mean if you put words of Jesus? How do you come to God? Through Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm trying to show you how to put scriptures together. If you're going to read by faith, well, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must what? What will you believe? In the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the resurrection of Jesus. He that cometh to God must believe. What must you believe? In the resurrection of Jesus. Can you come to Father by any other means? No. So he said, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, or he that believes in the resurrection of Jesus, that's actually how you come to God. And that God rewards. How does he reward? With eternal life. That's what it's speaking about. Hallelujah. Alright, so let's go to Mark 11. It's very difficult to teach about faith without using Mark 11. Classic text. Mark 11, glory to God. Okay, I said all that as just introduce us, because this is Jesus before the cross. So, how do you read Jesus' teachings? Before the cross means whatever he's telling you is something that was operational. That the resurrection didn't just bring, it's something that's actually actively operational, but may not have been known. Hebrews. Mark 11, are you there? Let's read all the way to verse 22. And Jesus answered, said unto them, have faith in God. Now in the original text, we've learned that have faith in God is not really what's written. It says, have the faith of God. Or have the God kind of faith. Let me say something before I continue. One of the reasons why we need to re-examine some of these truths again is because the subject matter of faith is one subject matter that is easy for us to assume that we know until we check the level of results that we have in our lives. It's so easy for you to say, I've heard that before, when it comes to subject of faith. But the truth is that it is one of those subjects that it's so easy for you to miss certain parts of truth that will not help you to express your faith fully. So pay attention as we're looking. It says, have the God kind of faith, or have the faith of God. It says, for verily I say unto you. Whenever Jesus starts by saying verily, he's telling you, pay very close attention. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. So number one, it is a function of whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. If we examine the words of Jesus, there are things we can find in that verse 23. He says, verily I say unto you. What is he about to describe? The faith of God. How does the faith of God operate? Is there a pathway it follows? Is there a way to exercise it? Jesus says, whosoever, that's the first thing. It means it is a law that is not a respecter of individuals. That's why it's whosoever. Whosoever will meet these conditions is whosoever. It means a principle that works for man. But what is he teaching? The faith of God, how does it work? This is how the faith of God works. It's a pathway. Say, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and he shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall what? Have whatsoever he said. Notice that it says, those things which he said. So, whoever shall say is saying more than one thing. Those things is plural. Is it plural or singular? Plural. Those things which he said. So it's talking about somebody who is saying certain things, not just one thing, saying certain things. What is the condition for speaking? He shall not doubt in his heart. So here we see three principles. Number one, it is whosoever is not respective of persons. Gravity works for everybody on the earth. It's not a respecter of persons. It's a universal. It's an earthly law. It's not universal. Okay. It's an earthly law because when you leave the earth, gravity ceases to work. So it's only for the earth. Hallelujah. When you get to the moon, I hope you know gravity doesn't work. You have to do something else. Okay? But you can overcome gravity by a higher law, the law of trust and lift. That's the law that makes planes to fly, at least temporarily. So it says, whosoever shall say to this mountain. Why was Jesus using, teaching this principle? If we back up to the previous verses, the Bible says, on a certain day, he came by a fig tree, and expecting to find fruit on that tree, and finding not, Jesus said to the tree, no man eat fruit of the year on after. What we popularly call Jesus cursed the tree. And I ask the question, did Jesus actually say, I curse you? Because there are people who believe that you can curse in the name of Jesus. But the question is, did Jesus actually tell you, I curse you? No, Jesus said, no man eat fruit of thee. And people have asked the question, why was Jesus so angry? After all, the Bible says, it was not yet the time of figs. Maybe we should look at it before we go on. Let's go back to it, a few verses before. Glory, glory. Are you there? Let's read from verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, it was what? It was what? It was hungry. Okay, so. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And disciples what? Heard it. So what did Jesus say? No man eat fruit of thee. That's another way of saying that may you not bear fruit again, isn't it? Okay, now let's read, jump all the way to verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is what? Withered away. So, who told us that Jesus cursed it? Peter. Okay. So, I leave you to decide whether the testimony of Peter is true or not. It was recorded. But here's the one I want to say. Jesus was hungry. He saw the fig tree. The Bible says, having leaves are far off. You may not know the import of that statement until you recognize two things. Number one, when leaves are seen, it's a promise of fruit. So if you see leaves on the tree, it means it's in fruiting season. But the Bible now says, the reason why I didn't have fruit was because that time of figs. How many of you know some fruits are seasonal? But here's the question, if the time of figs was not yet, why did the tree have leaves? That means the tree made a promise it couldn't fulfill. How many of you agree with that? How many of you agree with that? Okay. I hope you also know that the fig tree is a symbol of the Jewish nation and the religion that they abide by. So, what Jesus... Okay, let me put it this way. Because, okay, many times from a natural situation and a natural discourse, Jesus will open up his disciples and his, those that follow him to a spiritual truth. The challenge was this, when they were in the flesh, they didn't understand the departure. I mean, even what you said. That means they will be talking about something natural, then Jesus will use the opportunity to teach a spiritual reality, but most of the time they will think he's still talking about what? I mean, if you remember the story of the marriage at Cana of Galilee. Okay? And when the mother of Jesus came and said, they have no wine. What was Jesus' response? Woman, what have I to do with thee? For my time is not yet come. Ask yourself a question. They have no wine. Your time is not come. What's the matter with you? Is that what you think? They have no wine. Your time is not come. Now, if you read it naturally, here's what you conclude. Jesus is saying, it's not your time for me to work miracles. Why are you hurrying me up? But when they mention the word wine, there's another wine Jesus was speaking of. The wine they were talking about, they could have gone out to buy. The wine Jesus is speaking about, only he can give it. I don't want you to understand. Jesus' mother can say, they have no wine. Jesus said, my time is not yet come. What does he mean by his time? The time that I will pay the sacrifice that will make the wine of the Spirit, which is our life, available to mankind. That time is not yet. So he now went ahead and did the miracle to give them their natural wine. How many of you remember that? So he couldn't be saying, it's not yet time for me to perform, because he went ahead and did what? Performed the miracle. Do you understand that? So when he was asked a natural question, he responded spiritually. They didn't understand until after he rose from the dead, he was talking about the wine of the Spirit. If you understand what I'm saying, glory to God. So because now, what men call wine is an intoxicating liquid. What God calls wine is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Can you see the difference? What men call water is that which will quench your physical thirst temporarily. What God calls water is his Spirit, from which he says that when you have drunk of it, you will never thirst again. Do you understand that? Okay. So that means that when we talk about natural water, it is a type or a representation of the real water. Now, in your what you've been taught when you were raised, physical water is real water. To God, the Spirit is real water. The wine you taste and you become intoxicated over is what we call wine. To God, eternal life is what? Real wine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you understand so far? So, Jesus came and saw the fig tree. He was hungry, physically hungry now. He wasn't spiritually hungry. Physically hungry. Then he saw the fig tree afar off, having leaves. What was the leaves meant to represent? That the tree is in fruiting season. Did the tree have any fruit? No. So what did that system represent? A system that promised what it couldn't deliver. That was the religious system that the Pharisees operated by. So when it says, no man eat fruit from thee, it was saying, by my resurrection, this system will bring it to an end. Because life will not be available for men through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. If you understand, let me see your hand. Should I go over that again? Is it clear? I should go by it again. That last part. How many of you agree that when a tree is in season, there will be leaves? Isn't it? Was the fig tree in season? Was that the time of the figs? Did it have leaves? How did Jesus know that? Why did Jesus think there was fruit on it? Because he had leaves from afar off. So it's a system that promised men certain things that they couldn't give them. Do you understand that? So Jesus was saying, that system that keeps a man open but never manifests the reality of the hope will bring it to an end. So the tree being cursed is a type. It wasn't the tree, it was a system it what represented. Hallelujah. Listen, Jesus cannot be so hungry. Say, with his hunger and the heart of anger. With the intensity of this hunger, I curse you. Even you don't do that. You understand now? So it was a system that represented, that Jesus addressed, and he used words. Then he now used the opportunity to teach his disciples, how does the faith of God work? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Be thou what? Cast. What's a mountain? An opposition, something that stands in the way of your progress or your desire. He's not talking about literal mountain. He's simply using mountain to explain that which stands or opposes you. That's what the mountain is. So whosoever shall see unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast to sea. Why is he using words? He's letting you know that no matter how difficult, listen, pay attention. The word mountain to a man means that which is immovable. How many of you agree? Have you ever thought about a mountain moving before? You saw some mountain jumping. So Jesus is using very, very important words in his teaching ministry to convey some spiritual laws and how they work. Whosoever shall say unto this seemingly immovable structure. So in man's mind, it is immovable. In man's mind, it's a mountain. It can lack into a structure that has been there for long that will not change position. He says, but whosoever shall say, that is the mystery part of it. Whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. So, be thou removed is the first thing that will happen to the mountain. Cast into the sea is the second thing that will happen to that mountain. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said. So, we see those things, an aggregation of words. So, you can look at those things as plural. It can be saying a number of things, or it can be saying the same thing repeatedly. Hallelujah. Those things which he said. He shall not doubt that, but shall believe that those which shall come to pass, he shall want her what he seeth. Number one, notice mountain is mentioned once. As first. After, Whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, that can't see, shall not answer that. But shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass. So the emphasis is not even the mountain. The emphasis is what will happen to the mountain as a result of what is said. Do you agree? So we have whosoever, we have what is said, we have don't doubt in the heart, we have it shall have. Is that clear? Is that clear? So question is this: there is a mountain that it looks immovable, a difficulty. Jesus now says, none of you obviously think it is possible to speak to a living tree and say, cease to live. When Jesus spoke, there was no sign that the words of Jesus had any effect on the tree. Jesus just spoke, did not check, and left. Why did Jesus do that? He knew it was a process. What did Jesus use to address a physical tree? Spiritual words or spirit life addressed the tree. What did Jesus do after he spoke? He went on about his business, which is he didn't bother about the tree again. Why did Jesus go about it and not stay by the tree and keep a vigil? He's explained that principle to them in chapter verse 23. He shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he said shall come to pass. He shall have. So why did Jesus leave the tree, went to Jerusalem, was received, finished, was coming back the next day? Because he knew whatever he spoke had already taken effect. Hallelujah. Let me ask a simple question. If you put, take some water and put in a glass cup, and you pour out the water, how many of you go back to check whether the water left the glass? You just want to be sure. How many of you do so? You should be alarmed when after you throw it out, the water doesn't go, say, I'm not going. That's when you should be concerned. When you throw the water out, it's automatically assumed that through the law of gravity, what will happen to the water? It will flow out, isn't it? So, that is the principle that Jesus is teaching. Jesus didn't bother. In fact, the question was that, why are you guys surprised? Because Peter said, Master. So, listen carefully. The one who spoke the words did not check. The ones who heard him demonstrated were the ones who said, the fig tree is dried up from the roots. The roots of the tree are not just the life source of the tree, they are the invisible part of the tree. So, when Jesus spoke, the words of Jesus didn't start on the physical, visible part of the tree. It started in the unseen part of the tree. One of the challenges we have with faith is that when we're exercising faith, when we don't see immediate results, we say it's not working. Here's the problem. That is when it stopped working. Let me tell you what we do with our faith. Because as we're going on, we see that faith is like planting a seed. Faith is the seed of God's word that you're planting. How will the seed grow when you keep digging it up every time? You planted. How will it grow? In my practical year in school, we had different projects, 400 level agric. And we had planted, I've forgotten the other things we planted, but I know when we planted Cocorus olitorus. It's very complicated name for something very simple. I don't know why they came up with that particular name. How many of you know Cocorus olitorus? What's that? You see? See how simple it is? They should have looked for a common English name. What's his normal English? Is it spinach? It's not spinach. What do you call it? It's not lettuce. What is it called? It's not something more simple like that. They just made it more mysterious. Just made it sound mysterious all of us. That was what we planted. So we give us seed. We all planted. Now, they give us a period of weeks by which you were expecting harvest. Then you harvest it. Now, how do you get scores? It's a 4-point course. I don't know how they do their money in school again. But when you harvest it, they will wait. And there were people waiting to buy it. So it's not the money they make, because they will sell it based on how much it weighs. So how much your harvest weighs is what will guarantee your scores. So I had a friend. And knowledge will always bail you out. So he planted the first time. In 3 days, he should be seeing something sprout. Nothing sprouted. So he planted again. Nothing sprouted. He planted a third time. Even you will think that village people are involved. Because here is your own portion of land. This is somebody else's portion. This is another person's portion. It's growing. It's growing. Your own. They singled it out. What do you think? It's village people at work. So he told me, he said, Bishop, please, when you finish using your own, I've worked and I've done everything. When you finish using your own plots you've harvested, can I just quickly, can I quickly borrow your, at least your own is, let me borrow your own portion, let me just pass so I can at least get something. I said, okay, I said, are you sure? I said, I've planted 3 different times. I'm tired. I said, let's go to your land. After we do what we want to do, if nothing happens, I can give you my own land to you. So we went there. I said, have you spoken to it? He looked at me as though, what is he smoking? He's high on something. I said, have you spoken to it? Plant. 1, 2. Speak. Is that how you get harvest? We're talking about planting something. I said, let's go there. We went to the land. So I stood at the head of the portion of the land. I lay hands. I went to the other part. I lay hands. And as I spoke, I said, now say after me said. Then we commanded. I said, we're not planting any more seed. Only the one that is there must come out. We spoke. I said, now, don't go and check. Don't have to bless that. I'm saying, for such is the kingdom of God. As though a man should cast seed in the ground, he should sleep and rise night and day. The seed should sprout. He knoweth not how. What is the problem? This your constant checking is violating part of the law in verse 23. Shall not doubt in his heart. Why are you checking? You are doubting. Still, when will it? They've not called me. Must I pick somebody else? Satan is now messing with your mind. Not doubt in your heart is where your walk of faith really is. That's where walk is. Your walk is not with the mountain. The mountain will respond to what has been spoken. Not doubt is your response after you have spoken. Did I say that again? Not doubt in your heart is your personal walk. The mountain is a mountain. It is designed to respond to what? What should be at the back of your words? You don't doubt. What is that? Conviction, persuasion. You are persuaded. How do you become persuaded? He's still in that same verse. He didn't say the things which he has said, the things which he said. That means the saying is continuous. Did you hear what I said? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, you now assume that you say, just say and go. No, you keep saying in some cases. Whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed the cast and say, shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe those things which he said shall come to pass. Those things, more than one. Which he shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he what? He said. So I told him, don't go back and check. Until 3 days, then go back. And there was no phone in those days. But the next time I saw him, he was jumping, he was so excited. He said everything, in fact, haphazardly, all over the place. Everything just sprang up. What was he meant to do? Speak. Why did he speak? It doesn't naturally occur to you, except you have been practicing it. Let me say something. Do you know, even till now, though you are in Christ, when the talent comes, the last thing you think is speaking to it. How's your mind thinking? Please, let's leave that one. There's real problem. Let's face reality. But speaking God's word is our reality. That's a problem. That's our reality. Everything Jesus did when he was with disciples, to the point of getting provisions, to the room he got when he had last supper, it was by words. Going to that city, you will find a young man coming home. Follow the young man. When you get the knock, tell the master of the house, the Lord had need. He will release the donkey unto you. It was words that he used. Why didn't Jesus say, what if they say no? And they chase you away. And Jesus said, when he told disciples to go and preach the gospel, he told them what will happen. Preach the gospel and tell them the kingdom of God is come near. Heal the sick that are there, cast out devils. He didn't say, try and heal the sick, try and cast out devils. He didn't say, try. He said, heal. It was definite. This is what you are going to do. They went, they saw results because Jesus sent them. Whosoever shall what? Say. Hallelujah. And we see the import of words even at the creation of the earth. Why is this system important? That is how the earth is meant to function and operate. That means if you're not operating that way, you're operating contrary to the system of this earth. That's why outside of God, man is the only other speaking spirit. When I say speaking now, the one who can exercise authority in words. Even angels can't exercise the authority that man can exercise. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the heart, and the heart was now from a void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. What does the next verse say? And God said, or God said, light be. And there was light. Think about it. So everything, why do you think from verse 1 all the way to verse 26, the Bible will tell you, and God said, and God saw, and God said, and God saw. Why not just summarize the story of creation to us? All that, what's the repetition? And he said, and he saw, and he said, and he saw, and he said, and he saw. Just summarize it now. That's tautology. That's not good writing skill. Why was he repeating to show us the essence of speaking? If the earth was brought into existence by words, the earth is meant to be sustained and operated by what? Words. Glory to God. Now, ask yourself this question. The last challenge you had, how did you handle it? Did you go crying or did you go speaking? Because this is the reason why we need to re-examine our faith, our conscious exercise of faith again. Did you go crying or did you go speaking? Now, God is so simple, it's easy for the intellectuals to miss him. Think about it. What did Jesus teach? Jesus must have strange powers. If he didn't have strange powers, how can a man speak to a tree? Then Jesus now said, it's not by any anointing I possess. This principle can be operated by a man. That's what Jesus was saying. Jesus, how did you operate that Son of God? He said, no, as a man. So he said, whosoever. What was Jesus saying? I take it away from the realm of Son of God. I give it to everyone that can do it. What is the condition? Shall not doubt in his heart. Why did you go? You didn't check because I didn't doubt in my heart. What happened in the unseen part of the tree? The power was already at work. They didn't see it. So if you were with Jesus when he spoke, you'd have assumed that, bros, this one did not work, let's go. The Jesus knew he was working, yes. What were they doing? Using their senses to observe. Look at John 6:63. Look at what Jesus said, John 6:63. It's important. It's important. John 6:63. King James, please. It is the spirit who gives life. This is amplified. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits what? Nothing. The flesh doesn't participate in this spiritual activity. Contextually speaking, here's what Jesus is saying. He has been teaching some principles about the spirit, and he was speaking some realities of who he is and what he will do. Okay, I don't want to go because we'll leave our subject if we go there. But Jesus was one who was telling them that. He told them in chapter 6, he told them, he says, your fathers ate manna and are dead. This is that bread that a man shall eat and shall never die. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus teaching, you need to, I hope you have been, if you join chapter 6, Jesus teaching me, Jesus is very serious, very controversial in that sense. So your fathers have eaten manna with us and they are dead. This is the bread that a man may eat and never die. He now said, Moses did not give you that bread that is from heaven. But my father giveth you the true bread which is from heaven. So there's bread, there's true bread. if you put yourself in the position of those Pharisees, you'll be completely confused and perplexed. Bread, true bread. Moses gave us manna. I said, no, even the one Moses gave you is not the true bread from heaven. My father giveth you the true bread. And which true bread? Jesus. To make matters worse, except a man eats my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Ah, you know, in case this other person missed it, the Pharisees were not saying, why would this man give us his flesh? They thought he was teaching cannibalism. He was preaching spiritual reality. So in summarizing everything he has said, he now said, it is the spirit that can make sense of the things that have just been taught you. The flesh profits if you are still in the senses. What do you mean? It means you are not in Christ. You are not born again. The flesh profits nothing. He now says, the words that I speak unto you, they are what? They are spirit and they are... So words are spiritual in nature. You can see them, but you can see their effect. You can see words, but you can see their effect. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of times we are not conscious of the fact that some words were spoken to us and has actually shaped our thoughts and behavior if you're not careful. And we are now responding to what was spoken. It has grown on the inside. It's governing even our speech, even the things we say and how we respond. Sometimes we're not conscious. If somebody comes to you and says that it will not be better for you in this life, your response should not be, God forbid. It has already happened. Because when you say God forbid, what you are saying is this: your words carry weight in my life. The question is this: does the person's words carry weight? You are the one that determines whether the person's words does what? Carry weight. Are you stupid is a question which you don't have to answer. Your master is laughing. But you see, people who are not learned, they don't know there is a question. You can now turn it to an insult by us if you wish to. You now get very angry. Am I the one you're talking to? Okay, you are stupid. You are the one who is insulting. Are you stupid is a question asked by somebody who likely is stupid. What do you do? Don't respond. Just continue. I'm always saying, you're always there. Someone does like you in traffic. You now get angry. You come out of the car. Question, please. What does this mean? Muscle spasm of the hand. Pray for the person that makes the person's muscle spasm leave your hand. Because the person did this, it means something to him. It means nothing to you. You are the one who gave it meaning. I hope you know. You're the one who gave it meaning. Some of these things have to do. It's your heart. You gave it meaning. Go and do this in US. They will call 911 for you. That this man is having muscle spasm, psychological disorder. Because it doesn't mean anything to an American. So you cannot say, I'm cursing your mother. You say, by doing this, you are cursing my mother. You are not okay. You can't be okay. You cannot be okay. It's African man that's, you understand, that sees something out of. Yeah, the one who is making sense out of it. So you gave it an interpretation. My mother. How? Does this have to be your mother? So even your response and reaction has to do with what you were. Now, you did not know this means my mother. Somebody taught you. Like you went to some primary schools. When you're laughing, you must have been to those schools. I gave somebody something one day. He now said, what am I other eye? I have two eyes. You can't give me one. You have to be two. I say, yeah, no, okay. All those things, I don't understand. We just come up with, and Africans are superstitious. Why should I believe you are saying to me? Because this is, what does have to, you can be lying like devil. You know? And I was going to have had one very, very, very naughty friend like that. You know, in Yoruba land, they will take a piece of metal and bite it to show that, what do they call it now? The god of, is it god of thunder? And this one will bite plastic. People are busy. You bite plastic. I say, Ogun. You really wonder how not to come can be. But you don't know that the person who bites a metal and says that is a belief system. How many of you know that? Somebody else will buy the same metal and it doesn't make any sense. In fact, it doesn't know what you're talking about. So that somebody pronounces a curse doesn't mean the curse will come to pass except you believe it. How do you know you believe it? Whosoever shall say. You hear, you now say. Now, let me say that. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou what? Removed. Be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart. How does he get to where he doesn't doubt in his heart? Number one, from what he is saying. Where did he get what he's saying from? He has to hear it first. Glory to God. He has to hear it first. You can't have what to say if you have not heard. So what Jesus said to the fig tree, what Jesus had already what? Heard. Jesus knew he had authority over the fig tree. Jesus knew his rights and privileges. So Jesus could speak because you have to have seed to plant. That means you have to have the word of God that will produce what to say. Hallelujah. So whichever us has say, where do you get what to say from? The word of God. That's where it comes from. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Okay, let's start from Pastor T, where Jairus came to Jesus. Let's start from there. We'll explore some principles there today, and then we'll continue later. This is just from the lesson. Okay, afterwards, where is that? Afterwards, where is the verse? Still the same Mark chapter 5. Have you found it? Sorry, yes. When he came, in teaching. Where Jesus was teaching. After this. No. You are going back. You should be going forward. Have you found it? Okay. So, behold, or see. What was Jesus doing? He sat down and he was teaching. There cometh one of the rulers of the synagogues, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he did what? Was that an action? That's an action. What's the next thing he did? Next verse. And besought him greatly. So the man now employed words. So the action was qualified by what he said. If you just fall down your feet, it still means nothing. You may be worshipping or making obeisance. But the action had to be qualified by words. What followed the action? He besought him, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. So faith does not deny facts. It overrides facts. We're going to explore some of those things. When you are sick, don't say I'm strong. But when we tell you to joke, to Obawale, is it that you are taking glucose boost? Is that why you are strong? When you are sick, say, I am feeling sick, but I believe God and I'm healed. Don't say, I am strong. You know, you only say those things in church. You can't go to your cousin who is not saved and say that. He wants to say, I'm very rich. And that's why I'm coming to you. Bring money. Yes, sir. So say it the way it is, but qualified with the reality you have embraced. Notice what Jairus said. My daughter lies at the point of death. That's fact. But look at what he now said. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her, and that she may be, and she shall, notice, she may be healed. He now qualified it by, this is what the outcome will be. That are swallowed up, she lies at the point of death. What is the situation now? She's actually close to death. What will be the situation when you have come? You will reverse the situation. She will live. So, within the words of this man, was it faith? Yes. What did he do? He put in the facts, then he allowed the reality of his faith to say what will happen to the fact. It will override the fact. Faith does not deny fact. You don't have the money now. If you don't have the money now. But my God supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I will have the money. That's faith. So faith does not deny. Faith is not being hyper spiritual. No. There are facts. Even in what Jesus taught, there is a mountain. The faith says that there's no mountain. Faith doesn't say, I'm not sick. I'm telling you, I'm not sick. Then the headache is increasing. How are you feeling? I'm not really feeling good, but I trust God I'm well. Hallelujah. Do you take the reality of God's word to nullify the facts? It doesn't deny facts. It overrides facts. So it's not fit for you to say that, wait, I'm actually having a headache. Or I'm feeling. headache. But you have only you can say that when you have taken the higher reality, higher law, to suspend the lower one. Otherwise, you get people confused. Why were you not in church last Sunday? I was very strong. And it's Christianese, but it doesn't make sense. Because it's opposite that you are feeling. That's why, I jokingly say that when people come and meet me, like, Pastor, I had a dream yesterday that my enemy. And I usually tell them, why are you talking to me about your enemy? Is it not your enemy? Let it remain with your enemy. I don't know where that speech was imported from. My enemy, I saw my enemy. My enemy had an accident. I thank God though. It's your enemy. Pastor, let us pray for your enemy. You are spiritual. Let me say, pray for your enemies. And once I started, I said, Pastor, stop now. You just told me your enemy now. We are celebrating. That is your enemy, Daddy. Pastor had a dream. In the dream, I actually had an accident. You are afraid to even say that one. It means you already believe the dream. You already believe the dream. That's what it means. And you think by saying my enemy will make the dream go away. No. He says, my little daughter is one of them. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Look at the next verse. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and what? Trumped him. So, the man spoke words to which Jesus responded. Who was Jesus? The power of God. On two legs. Jesus responded. So, was the man walking in faith? Yes. How? He expressed it. Whosoever shall see. When he said, something happened, power began to go with him to go and accomplish what it is I desired. He shall not doubt in his heart. That is our personal what? Responsibility. That's why, let me say it this way. One of the strongest, one of the areas where you and I are going to need this greatest discipline is to sustain a prolonged and consistent confession. That's the greatest test of faith. That is, you are saying the same thing, come rain, come shine. You are saying the same thing because I have noticed some of us, the challenges we have, and I had to learn it also. I didn't bring it from heaven. When you start out on this journey, in initial stages, everything that can go wrong will appear to go wrong. Circumstances around you are arranged to take the faith out of your mouth, or for the faith to change the circumstances. One of two that will happen. So if your confession is strong enough, your persuasion is sound enough, it will change the situation, or the situation will change your confession. It depends on you. So if you are the person who is very giving to physical environment, you are always responding. The environment around you will take the confession from your lips. Before you know what's happening, you are speaking in line with what you can see, not what you believe. You prayed yesterday, you were confessing in place of prayer, I have fever. You heard in the office today, they're giving three people query this morning, and they're only serving in the office. This man, hey, you have started query again. May I not have query? May I not have, the way things are going? In fact, this man is even wicked. Why is he giving everybody query? You're already agreeing. You left your previous confession. What is that confession? I have the favor of God. I am different. I'm the end of the tale. I excel wherever I am. Now, because you know what is doing, you know what you are doing. The people you are even looking up to in the office have received query. So you're not thinking, who am me? You know what you're doing? You're now recalibrating your faith. I can still receive query, but I will not be sacked. You know what you're doing? You're now doubting in your heart. You didn't sustain what you first said. Did you see that? Pastor T, this Mark, verse 35. 35, let me show you something. 35. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house Satan, which said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? Next verse. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, He said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not only. Now, listen carefully, because we're going to go through. Faith is transmitted by words. Fear is transmitted by the same. Jairus had faith. How do we know what he said to Jesus? What was the content of what he said? This is a fact that my little daughter is in a critical condition, but I believe if you lay your hands on her, she shall. The word shall is the strongest affirmation in the English language. She shall live. So Jesus followed him. That was Jairus' faith. He has spoken. The next thing is, the only thing that can affect his faith now is to manipulate his environment or to make him hear something different than what he has been saying. So while Jesus had this interlude between verse 25 and verse 34 with the woman with that an issue of blood, we look at that case later. Verse 35, they came from Jairus' house, those who were there, and they came with news. Now, what was the news? The news was meant to be, your daughter is dead. Sorry, don't cry, sorry. But look at what they said. You don't know the import. Don't trouble the master. And who sent you? Say what you need to say and go. Don't tell him what to do. Don't trouble the master any further. Let me tell you that in modern English, don't use faith again. This is beyond faith. It's too late. She's now dead. What did he say? His faith say to the master, she shall live. What has happened? She is now dead. Does that change the statement, she shall live? No. You see, some of these diseases were put there so that we can really, really study and understand how faith works. That it got worse after you said the right thing doesn't mean you will stay in that condition. You hear what I said? That it got worse after you said the right thing doesn't mean it will stay in that worse condition. It's a test of faith. It's a test of faith. Hallelujah. You know, as a pastor, I get to hear all kinds of things. And then somebody told me, pastor, this confession thing, everything was fine. Until we started confessing this thing, everything just went haywire. I'm not doing it again. But so I was enjoying peace. But this confession thing, every demon that can come up has come up because of this confession thing. I said, no, that's not what's going on. It's because you are speaking now, you're operating laws and rules of the kingdom you belong to. So the enemy is doing one thing. If you get free in this area, you get free in every other area. So what he's doing is fighting. He's the God of this world. So he can sometimes manipulate your environment. What is he doing? To make you let go of what you claim to be yours. You need to understand, it's intelligent warfare. Your boss just starts acting up. He just receives information, he starts acting up. He gave you a commendation yesterday, today he starts acting somehow. You gave testimony in church yesterday, I just been promoted so and so. Monday morning, query. Say, my enemies have come. What's happening? A trial test of faith. He's trying to manipulate the environment to see, will you change your confession? What you said, you believe. Do you really believe it? Because, for instance, now, there's no amount of pressure you can put upon me that now make me say that I'm no longer a man. Honestly, it's true. I'm a woman. Someone said, why? Do anything to the environment. I am still a man. That's what shall not doubt in his heart shall mean. I've given this solution many times before. I walked up to a lady some years back, 2006, 2004. She was about to get married. And by the Spirit of God, I just knew. I just spoke to her. It's not every prophecy that is good, though. Some are not good at all. They come. That's why you don't want to be used to certain revelation gifts. But I knew by the Spirit of God that they said they will give you money. They won't give you. How can you say that somebody who's about to get married, you have just killed? See, they will give you, but they won't give you. But trust in the Lord. He will cause abundance to come another way. When you are planning to get married, somebody promises you 30,000. You have spent it. I have not collected it. How many of you know? Mattis is laughing. You have, in fact, you have ticked off on your list. Done. this one is done. So if that person doesn't come true, if you're not careful, you take it personal. You will be like, why? You feel offended. No. This was already done. As though the person is the one who stole money from you. So, somebody promised that, listen, 100 keys. The person, you know, if somebody promises you 100 keys, he now give you 25. You don't know what that's done to your list of things. Then, because she had received that word, she just started thanking God. Because she was going to get discouraged that a lot of things have already, because you have, when they give you 150, you are spent, it's already spent, allotted to different things. So a week after, she went to her old office to visit her friends to tell them that this was what was going on. And then, so she was trying to avoid her boss, so she came in quietly. But when she was about to go, unfortunately for her, fortunately, her boss came out. Ah! So this is how you sneak around, you just come in. So I apologize, I'm sorry, so now I said, well, how are you doing? Sir? So he saw the candy, I said, what is this? I'm going to say, you are getting married. Ah, is the fight this much? You know, you should tell me, you are getting married. Anyway, shall I come? You get to the office. Let me give my own gift and give her 100K. So, faith, once it is released, is counting on the ability of God. Now, here's the issue. When you are practicing the process, the how, leave it to God. Don't dictate the how. Once you say the how, must be brother God, there's a problem. Brother God may just travel to Canada. That means your how has traveled. You now say, God did not come through for me. No, you messed up. Don't determine the path of manifestation. You just determine that you are the one who planted the seed of the process. How is it going to come out? Bible says, he puts in the seed. He goes to bed night and day. The seed springs up. He knoweth not how. He knoweth not how. What was she believing? Believing for provision. That's all she needed to do. How was she going to do it? She's going to say it. When you are believing, don't start attaching people's names. Chief Akinyemi will give me 100. Brother Bolu will give me 50. Captain Julius, that one is $500. Once you start that process, you're on your own. You have entered flesh. What are you doing believing God? Believing God for funds. Are you going to tell God who is going to give you? That's not your business. What is your responsibility? You will say, and you will not doubt. But you know, because the people you are talking about, they are not mountains. Okay? You understand? So, where problem starts is when you now try to determine the pathway of the reception. Somebody came and spoke words, and words carry spirits or carry an atmosphere. And they said to him, trouble not the master any further, for your daughter is now dead. What were they meant to just come and say, my daughter, your daughter is dead? Well, sorry. Don't tell him what to do. The minute Jesus heard what they told him, Jesus knew what would happen to his faith. Where was his faith? He had spoken the faith. That faith God gives us to follow him. So that he will not be contaminated by what was said. He said, be not afraid, only believe. What should he believe? What you said before. What you said before? He shall live. Why do we have that passage like that? So that you can tell that even when you start out, and it has happened to many of us, when we started out, when we're faced with a challenge, it suddenly got worse. You now agreed with the situation. You now threw the towel, you give up. Meanwhile, in that same situation, Jesus is still the resurrection and the life. Do you hear what I said? He is still the what? Resurrection and the life. And we have too many illustrations from the scriptures, even from the Old Testament, to show us that at the point when it's about to go extremely worse, it's about to become extremely glorious by the power of God. Hallelujah. So we're going to continue looking at, because we have to remind ourselves about the principle of how to express our faith, the challenges we're going to face, so that we can become better and more effective when it comes to expressing our faith on a daily, because there are principles hidden that we're not paying attention to Because faith is not magical. Faith is spiritual law. The law of faith is a spiritual law. Romans 3:27 speaks about the law of faith. Okay, which we look at. It's a principle that we can operate deliberately. Simple, but in its simplicity lies God's ability. That we now need to understand. So you ask yourself, you can examine yourself, I'm actually walking in faith. Or I think I'm walking in faith, which Bible calls presumption. Sometimes you are, it's presumption that you are calling faith. There's no seed. There's nothing you have had. It's another person's testimony you are processing. And that happens to be a lot. You just heard that. So as I was believing God and confessing and confessing. Somebody hit me with a bike at the bus stop. I was taken to a nearby clinic. When the doctor came, 6'2", thought that can handsome, we are now married. We thank God in church. You also are believing for your husband. Now went to go and fall at bus stop. They didn't take you to a nearby clinic, took you to a far place. Much suffering and shoot as we're going. You get there, a masculine looking matron came out. Your faith has gone. We cannot take people's testimonies and try to replicate them. What we can do is be encouraged by a testimony to stand our ground in God's word and receive our own testimony. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, we'll stop here tonight. We'll continue.